When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. I'm Gavin Berry, and once again, I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by the Daily Record's Andy Newport. I would have said we're also joined by the Sunday Mail chief football writer Scott McDermott, as I usually do, but he's on a well-earned break, Andy, and he certainly picks his time. Is he just leaving you in it? Is that what it is?
I've been thrown right under the bus here, to go through the weekend's events over my lonesome. So that's one I've got saved up against them. So when the wee man gets back, he'll be getting it plenty. So there we go.
So he's ducking them. I mean, we normally say, well, we never duck the big issues. First sign of a bit of...
That doesn't need to duck much. He's not really that tall, so... He just manages to
the slightest bit of turbulence, he does a runner.
But on a serious note, Andy,
obviously you were at the game on Sunday. There's only one place to start. Rangers 0, Celtic 1. Understrength Celtic team. The feeling was before the game, certainly when the Celtic team sheet came out, that it was a team that was there for the taking. Here was a big opportunity for the Michael Beale and the new look team to lay down a marker. It didn't happen. Kyogo scores the only goal. You were there. We know all about the reaction, boos, jeers. There's no doubt Michael Beale was under pressure after it, and he has been under pressure in the coming days. But let's skip to today, where the Record Sport had an exclusive saying that the Rangers chairman, John Bennett, will not act, he won't do anything, and Michael Beale is safe for now. Are you surprised by that, and do you agree with it?
I'm not surprised, because, I mean, you talk about the reaction there. I've said it to a few people since the game at the weekend. I'm not sure I've ever seen or heard Ibrox as angry as it was at full time. I mean, as soon as the whistle went, I sort of stood up, packed my laptop. I was making my way down the press box just to continue getting all were bits and pieces written for Monday's edition of the Daily Record, and just the noise, the level of the sort of, the fury that you could feel around the place was really something that I hadn't seen before. But I still think, we're four games into a league season, nine games in total. I still think that's fairly early for, what is a new look team. They've obviously spent an awful lot of money this summer, £15 million. They've given Michael Beale the funds that he was looking for in order to revamp this squad. So I think to get rid of him now and expect somebody else to come in and operate with this squad, I'm not sure that would be the best circumstances that would enable you to entice another manager in when you've got such a long time to go before the next window, when you don't have that chance to, come in and put a stamp on the team. The kind of opportunity that Michael Beale got last November, he knew he was coming in, he only had 6 weeks to go until he could revamp the squad. He could certainly start making changes to the squad. It's a totally different this time. You're looking at, 4 months before you can really even start making changes. So, no, it didn't surprise me that they've made the decision to stand by him. I've had conversations with people at the club over the last few months, and I know that Michael Beale's highly rated by the people at the club, but I'm sure they'll be having some concerns that the way things are going. It's not been an ideal start to the season. Performance levels just haven't been there. So that, in terms of the exclusive Keith Jackson wrote for the paper this morning, I think the expectation will be that if Michael Beale is to keep the job long term, things have to improve. They have to start improving quick. Obviously, having an international break probably an ideal. You know, it's allowed that sort of sense of fervour to sort of build up. You know, there's nothing, they've not got that chance to bounce back to answer the critics. So I think that's perhaps behind the decision to sort of put the message out this morning that he still does retain the board's support. But, you know, if things don't improve when they come back against that game, back after international break for that game against St Johnstone, if there's any slip-ups, if, you know, if they don't go on to progress to the League Cup final and win that trophy. And by the way, that's 2 months away, you know, 3 months away. An awful long time. A lot of awful games for Michael Beale to negotiate before that. I think he could be in trouble. So, it's, you know, I think he's pretty much drinking in the last chance saloon. I mean, I think he knows that, you know, he can't afford any more slip-ups.
I mean, if you're in the camp, if you're in the camp who, and let's face it, there are many of the Rangers fans there because you can see out there. I mean, if you're in the camp who believe that this situation, by sticking by him, you're only delaying the inevitable and that he's not going to claw it back, you know, what is the point? You know, that's what some people would say, you know, what is the point? And just sticking it out for the sake of sticking it out.
As I mentioned just before, I think I'm not entirely sure that if you were to get rid of Michael Beale today, that you would have the caliber of manager that you'd be looking for, given the circumstances. And what, I mean, as much as Rangers still a big job, I think that the type of caliber of candidate they'd be looking for has to be somebody at the top end. You know, you've had somebody in Steven Gerrard who's a huge name, who command respect when he walked into the dressing room. And then you've got Gio van Bronckhorst, who had won, obviously a terrific, stellar player as a player himself, had won things in Holland. They've went in an experienced route with Michael Beale. I mean, you know, Sunday's game was only his 60th game in charge as a first team manager. He's had one season and 1 month of you know, frontline management so far. So, you know, in terms of why would they not act now? Because, you know, who really wants to step into a situation, if we're talking about, you know, experienced, you know, recognised managers with a bit of gravitas about them, who's going to really want to come in right now when you've got, as I say, another 4 months to go until you can start making changes to the squad? You know, when there's negativity, when there's confidence issues, I'm not sure that they would be looking at it as the most ideal circumstances to get somebody else in and to recruit a manager at that point. It's 9 months in. So
9 months. Yeah, because it's interesting that you say that. It's interesting you talk about that, you know, the inexperience and the number of games he's had in charge, because early in the week on TalkSport, Simon Jordan, who has been critical of Michael Beale and the manner he left QPR and some of the things he said, he's called him out a few times, so he's had a few attacks on him. But in actual fact, earlier in the week, he kind of flipped it a bit and was saying, well, what are the expectations, you know, if you bring in a manager like that who's a young manager and it's like a project, and, you know, what are you expecting? If that's who you hire, then surely you've got to accept that, you know, it's not like you're going and getting a Brendan Rodgers who has been to the Premier League, and, you know, and so you've got to know that. If you're the Rangers board, you've got to accept it.
I think that's fair criticism, but I mean, I think perhaps us in the media sometimes we're perhaps guilty of, you know, perhaps thinking that Michael Beale had a more prominent role than perhaps might have been the case. I mean, that's the only natural conclusion that you can draw from looking at how things have changed. I mean, we were led to believe that Michael Beale was, you know, obviously he would have played a big role under Steven Gerrard, but, you know, we've all seen the quotes from former players, guys that left Rangers, and they all sort of spoke about how key and crucial Michael Beale was to whatever success Steven Gerrard had first time round. But I think the thing that sort of raises doubts about that is just the fact of how much he's come away from some of the principles that were so key to Steven Gerrard's success. I mean,
like, you know, what?
Just in terms of, you know, the shape, you know.
Shape, right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as, you know, there's aspects of it, you know, there was spells where Gerrard obviously moved away from having those wingers that he had in his first season. He drew them in more narrow, a bit like how Beale's been playing this season, and they operated more with the, you know, getting the width from the fullbacks. But, you know, that was on the basis that you had somebody like Ryan Kent who had the technical ability, the burst of speed, you know, just the trickery that would allow you to, you know, keep the ball up high. I mean, you know, I don't really see anyone in this Rangers team that operates that kind of role. Mm-hmm. The defensive discipline, the defensive shape, that they were so important to that. You know, I think we can all think back to that night in Braga, the first time they went to Braga, when, you know, the shape Rangers had off the ball was just so difficult for Braga to break through, and it was key to them getting the result that night. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I look at times, you know, especially on Sunday there, I mean, Rangers were just so disorganised. Mm-hmm. You know, shape off the ball was all over the place. And so that leads me to think that perhaps, you know, Steven Gerrard probably didn't get quite the level of credit he deserved for instilling the sort of principles that were clearly, you know, key to getting the results that he got. So, yeah, I mean, I just think it's been... You know, it's been nowhere near what Rangers would have expected when they appointed Michael Beale. I think they thought they were going to get, you know, a repeat of what Steven Gerrard had given them, and it's been, you know, far, far short from that so far.
Yeah, I mean, you were at McDermott Park because we spoke last season when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst lost 2-1 there in November, remember? And it was toxic outside, wasn't it? I think, was that not the fans were kind of waiting on? But yeah. I mean, there had been weeks when we sat in the podcast, you know, leading up to even that game. You know, there was a home draw against Livingston, and, you know, and you sense it slipping away, and you, me and Scott would have sat on the podcast and said, well, you know, what's the point? You know, what's the point in continuing this? And what's the point in continuing this? If there is the same scenario after the international break when Rangers go to Perth, I mean, if they were to draw or lose that, they could you see realistically any way back if Celtic went on to win later in the day at home to Dundee? I mean, could you see it?
Well, I think for large swathes of the support already, it's already reached that breaking point. I think this is the real danger for Michael Beale, is that no matter what he does, uh-huh. I think there's you know, huge sections of support have already made up their mind. As I say, he's been here for 10 months now. I mean, really, I mean, how many performances can you remember that you thought that was entertaining? That was Rangers playing at their best. I mean, you know, I can think of Hibs away, Hearts away, Celtic at home, against a Celtic team that, you know, had the flip-flops already on. We're already looking to the summer. The league had been won. We're on the way to a treble. You know, so three games out of, as I said, I think it's 38 he's had as Rangers manager.
Yeah.
Three performances, that is not great reading. And there's so far this season, it looks like things have reversed. I mean, there's been no, you know, we looked at this last week's game up at Ross County has been a step in the right direction. You know, they were slightly more in control, probably still didn't score enough goals, the number of goals Michael Beale would have been happy for. But then, you know, 3 days later, you go, 4 days later, you go to Eindhoven and they get absolutely smashed there. Yeah. Again, you're wondering, asking questions about tactics, about, you know, team selection, you know, leaving out Ryan Jack, a guy who, you know, has been over the course so many times with Rangers in terms of, you know, these big European nights, knows what it takes to get a result away from home, and he leaves him out and he picks a Jose Cifuentes, who the week before had been, you know, really a mile off the pace. You know, simply can't have ever played in a game as quick as that in the MLS. Yeah. And chooses again for a game that's arguably even quicker over in Eindhoven. So, you know, I think, you know, those are the things that will raise real doubts among big sections of the support who look to me like they've already lost faith. I mean, you've seen the reaction online. You've seen the reaction at full time on Sunday. Just so many of them have clearly decided that Michael Beale's not the man they think should be manager of Rangers anymore. So for him to come back from that, it's a huge ask. I mean, he really needs to, it's going to take a huge turnaround in performance levels. He can't afford, certainly I think in the next month or two, to be dropping any sort of points domestically. Europe-wise, they need to show that they can be competitive. Even if they're not winning games, they have to be competitive. They can't afford to be losing a game by two or three goals. I think that's the sort of... Michael Beale finds himself now sort of living on a knife edge. You know, he's one slip away from this all coming.
And that's the thing, when you're operating like that, I mean, it's just, I mean, how can you? I mean, it's so difficult. But I suppose the thing when you're judging Michael Beale is are you judging... Because if we say it's early, and it is early because it's four games in, and then people say, oh, no, but I mean, he's been in the job for 10 months. But I suppose, are we judging him from his entire spell in charge, or are we judging this team? Because he'll argue this for this team, it's early days. Others will say, well, you've had 10 months, you know, in the hot seat. So you can see 2 points. It's all right.
Yeah, of course it's early days for this team, and, you know, guys still need to settle in. You know, we haven't seen so far the form that some of the players have shown elsewhere. I mean, you know, Danilo, you know, played for a team that won the Dutch league last year. And okay, he wasn't always a star, but you know, he played every single game last year for Feyenoord. So the guy's clearly not a bad player, but yet he can't get a game for a Rangers team that's, you know, really short in quality up front. You know, but he's, you know, there's obviously talent there. It's, are Rangers getting the best out of it yet? Probably not. So, you know, but at the end of the day, Michael Beale took on the responsibility of building this team. He said as much at times last season that he knew the buck stops with him. I'm sure, you know, when Ross Wilson left at the end of last season, if he wasn't comfortable being the man who went out and led the recruitment or felt that he needed an extra pair of hands in there, he could have made that point clear to the board and they would have went out and acted upon it. But you know, he said he was happy to do the job, do both jobs, managing the club and leading the recruitment. So he knows that this is on him. He's been the guy who's decided Glenn Kamara, a guy who, okay, his performance levels have dropped, but again, we've seen what he's been capable of when he's at his best. He's allowed him to move. He's allowed Antonio Kolak to leave. You know, again, a guy who, you know, probably wasn't of the required level last year to stop Celtic, but is he any worse than what they've brought in this season? You know, he's let, you know, Fashion Sakala go and left them lonely with Rabbi Matondo as another sort of like-for-like option. So, you know, it's a new team, but it's a new team because it's the team that Michael Beale has chosen to build himself. And that's, I think, is what's going to, you know, that's where, you know, he's going to have to live or die by. The majority of it now is his team. He's brought in, you know, 11 players since January. It's his team now, and he has to be the guy who sort of, you know, takes responsibility for results either way.
And he did say at one point last season that I know my budget, and compared to recent Rangers managers, it's as, you know, as much as anybody and more than anybody else has got. So he was kind of talking up the budget at the time towards the end of last season. And then after the game on Sunday, he was saying, oh, I mean, 13 million and 9 players. He was almost sort of then playing it down as if to say, look, you know, did you sense that? No, or was it just...
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's the same budget that Gio Van Bronckhorst got the year before, pretty much. And, you know, we saw what happened to him. You know, Steven Gerrard spent similar sums. I mean, this is the kind of budget that Rangers have had to deal with in recent seasons. So, but, you know, is there any sign that Danilo is providing any value for money for the sums they've spent on him? Cyril Dessers too, Sam, you know, if they spent this, you know, large amounts of money, or not large amounts as maybe Michael Beale will feel. Yeah. The guys he's brought in still aren't in the team, you know.
I mean, if you're
only three started at the weekend, and one of them is because Borna Barisic is out injured. You know, the other one's a goalkeeper who's, you know, Butland, I think he's the only one in the new signing so far that has been, you know, above criticism. I think he's been excellent. You know, he's the only one that's sort of performed to what you would call Rangers levels. The rest, I think, have just been, you know, far from, a long way from what's required.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder how these conversations go after. I mean, it's obviously very raw on Sunday, but I mean, do you think James Bisgrove and John Bennett, you know, do you think when they're talking to you, Michael Beale, say, you know, why are you not playing Danilo when we spent X, Y, you know, spent, you know, why do you think they start to question him, or can you just go there with the manager? Is that interfering?
I'm sure that is. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're the guy, you know, signing the checks, I think you've got every right to be asking your manager, going, you know, what are we getting for this?
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting, as I walked along the press gantry at full time, I turned around, I looked up at the director's box, and I could see John Bennett and Douglas Park sort of having what looked like a very grim conversation. The two of them were, you know, looked like they had the weight of the world on their shoulders. You could see that, you know, it wasn't just Michael Beale that was getting stuck. There was people sitting around them in the main stand, you know, venting their anger at the board as much as the manager was getting it. So they will know the strength of feeling of the supporters, and they will have every right themselves to be wondering what they're getting, what value they're getting for the money they've spent this season. You know, Michael Beale might not think it's huge amount of sums, huge sums, but, you know, you look at Celtic. I mean, yeah, they've got a bigger budget. They've got, you know, they've got money in the bank, but they haven't splurged huge amounts this summer. They didn't splurge huge amounts last year in terms of net spend. They've spent their money wisely. They've gone out. They've recruited well. They've obviously had Ange Postecoglou last couple of years, and his knowledge of, say, the Japanese, the Korean markets, they've been able to make that money go a lot further than what Rangers have, and that's the frustration. You know, as much as Celtic, I think, have had a financial edge over Rangers the last few years, they're still not going out and spending, you know, 10, 15 million pounds on players, because, you know, in order to do that, you have to spend 10, 15 million pound wages on these players. And I mean, Celtic aren't doing that. Wage bills are, you know, fairly similar. There's not a huge amount in it. So it's just what is the big difference is the returns that both clubs are getting
and where that argument falls down in the case of Sunday is that they didn't have these players.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, it was Liam Scales at the back, and it's, you know, whoever else.
I mean, yeah, I mean, put it this way, I mean, that was Rangers virtually at full strength.
Well, exactly. That's,
the
that's...
team of the squad that Michael Beale has constructed, that is the squad that Michael Beale and James Bisgrove himself thought would be good enough to get them through into the Champions League and cope in the Champions League. Where Celtic, you know, you're missing, you know, Cameron Carter-Vickers, you're missing Mike Narowski, you're missing... Yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, having also get rid of the likes of Jota.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the concern. Celtic from here, you imagine, and also having brought in a couple of, you know, you imagine Paolo Bernardo will be looking to make an impact. They've obviously brought in Nat Phillips. You know, this is a team that Celtic are going to hope is going to get stronger as the months go by. You know, they can't, this was a chance. Celtic, you know, pretty weak lineup, you know, not anywhere near the strongest, and yet Rangers still couldn't take advantage. And I think that's the huge concern for the Rangers support and the board.
Because Kenny Miller was talking today earlier, I saw some quotes dropping and speaking in the broadcast. He was saying, you know, he needs time, and, you know, you need stability and all that. And quite often when you reach these situations with managers, you always hear people say, oh, I mean, what about Alex Ferguson? You know, what about, I mean, look at Alex Ferguson at Man U, you know, of Man United. But we know, obviously, he had a tough start and the board stuck with him, and look what happened. The rest is history. But, I mean, I sometimes, you know, I mean, what do? Do you just never sack managers? You know, I mean, if that's the case. I mean, look, we've been there with Paul Le Guin, you know, certainly at Rangers. You know, if you look across at Celtic, you know, Tony Mowbray, time was short-lived. You know, if it's not going right and you don't think, you can't just indefinitely say, because you can't just keep losing league titles because it's too early. You know, at some point you need to, if you think it's not, this isn't working and it's not going to work, crucially, it's not going to work, you need to act.
Yeah, those are the two decisions, I mean, that they have to weigh up. One, you know, is there signs, or are there no signs that by giving them extra time, giving them, you know, the opportunity to turn this around, if they don't think that's going to happen, then you have to sack them. Yeah. But also, do they think they can find somebody else out there that can do a better job with this group of players? Yeah. If not, right now, are you better just to give them that second opportunity? Those are the two things that they have to sit there and weigh up. And, you know, obviously right now they've decided that they want to give them the time.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, I don't think he's got many opportunities left. You know, I think he's, you know, he's had one, two, three strikes this season already. Mm-hmm. You know, losing at Kilmarnock, Champions League exit to PSV, which, you know, if they'd lost 1 or 2-0,
yeah,
I don't think many Rangers fans would have complained, because I think PSV are a very good side and
showed
that with the way they dominated the game at Ibrox. You know, if they go and turn that domination at home into a 2 or 3-0 win, I'd say certainly a a 1 or a 2-0 win. I don't think many Rangers fans are complaining about that, but to get pumped 5-1, I think was just a result. It was far too big a margin for the relative qualities of the team, and then obviously then losing to Celtic is just that kind of Celtic team with you know the injuries that they had to deal with was just a result for us. As I say, last series of the support was just you know unpalatable.
Okay, well, just to round off then, I mean, you say, like, who would you get for it? So let's just say, for argument's sake, because there have been a few names floating around there. Kevin Muscat, who was mentioned previously, is the bookie's favourite. There was one bookie who put out odds. The other name I've seen floating around is Graham Potter. He is out of work and would be available. Now, whether it's realistic or not, I don't know. So, I mean, if you're the Rangers board, could you say, right, it's not working. It's not working here. We're going to go and get Graham Potter. Would he be a good choice, and could they get him? And equally, Muscat. I mean, surely Kevin Muscat would be achievable because...
Yeah, you would think. You would think so. I mean, he's obviously done very well in Australia. He's done very well taking over from Ange Postecoglou with Yokohama and out in Japan.
Do they float your boat?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're thinking that Kevin Muscat is a, you know... Very similar to Ange Postecoglou. They play in the, you know, they work together, they play in a similar way. But I think for me, I wonder if they show a wee bit more imagination. It just seems like an obvious pick. You know, the same way that Gio was an obvious pick, he was out of work, former Rangers player. Beal was an obvious pick. I think the criticism would be that if they then go and appoint Kevin Muscat, then you say this is a board that lacks imagination when it comes to appointing it. They just go for the easy option. I think that's the danger with that. It's an easy stick with. In terms of Graham Potter, I think that would show plenty of ambition.
Mm-hmm.
But Celtic found Eddie Howe attracting guys from England who have, you know, ambitions to stay in England and that confidence that they can still operate in England is tough. You know, obviously Celtic have managed to get Brendan Rodgers north of the border twice now, but obviously he has that emotional club having grown up supporting the club.
Yeah.
You know, listen, the one thing I think perhaps goes in our favour is that, you know, Graham Potter has shown, you know, he's had to fight his way to the Premier League the hard way, you know, coming up through, you know, what was it, university football, going to Sweden, third division in Sweden, whatever it was, working his way, then, you know, Swansea into Brighton. Does that perhaps mean that he's not got the sort of level of snobbery that some people would view the Scottish football with? Well, I don't know, you need to ask him, but I mean...
And he's got Billy Reid by his side, who would
always...
Although he would make his own decision, but Billy Reid, he'll certainly trust him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, listen, who knows? Until that question's, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Michael Beale's still a man in the job. You know, Rangers need to decide what to do with him first before you can start talking about others. There's no doubt that Rangers is still a huge draw. I mean, you don't get people like, you know, Steven Gerrard, who at that point had no affiliation with the club. And, you know, the club is certainly in a much worse off position than it is now at that stage. So, Rangers still got a draw that will still entice people. But I think, you know, given the state of things, given how the last few years have gone, Rangers must get this next appointment if it's going to come to that correct. But before that, they have to hope that Michael Beale can make the best fist of it he can, that he can turn this season around, because it's not been good enough. The concern is that it's 4 points. Obviously, you've still got another 34 games of the league season to go. But so far, are there signs that are they trending in the right direction to be title challengers? I don't think right now they are. So things have to drastically improve. Michael Beale's going to have a couple of weeks in the training ground with this team. He's been denied that pretty much since the end of pre-season, just with the hectic schedule that they've got. So he's going to have to hope that he can do all his best work with the players over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, a big upturn in performances and result is going to be required if he's to turn this situation around.
Okay, Andy, thanks a lot for your time. And I'm assuming you're going to McDermott Park.
I should be, yes. We'll see what the rota brings. We wait for that, but yeah, hopefully so.
And I admire you because you don't duck the big issues.
Will
Scott McDermott be there? And if so, the three of us can meet right here later that week to chew over. But in the meantime, have a well-earned break from covering Rangers, and then we'll hook up after Perth.